In the beginning, there was darkness, a void waiting to be filled with the echoes of destiny. From the depths of time, legends emerged. Heroes forged in the fires of adversity, their stories etched in the fabric of eternity. Through the sands of ancient deserts, across the vast expanse of galaxies, and amidst the tumultuous waves of the ocean, their journeys began. But amidst the chaos, there arose a whisper, a call to action, a beacon of hope. Now, as the world holds its breath, a new tale unfolds, a story of courage, of triumph against all odds. Join us as we delve into the depths of imagination, as we embark on a journey beyond the realms of possibility. For in every tale lies a lesson, in every legend, a truth waiting to be discovered. This is not just a podcast. This is an odyssey, a quest for knowledge, a quest for inspiration, a quest for the very essence of what it means to be human. Welcome, dear listeners, to a world of infinite possibilities. Welcome, dear listeners, to the True Life Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, I hope everyone is having a beautiful day. I hope the week was beautiful. I hope you got to wake up in the arms of the person you love, or at least you woke up from a dream where you were holding them maybe. You know what I mean? I hope you're thinking about great things, and I hope you realize that your future is about to blossom like a beautiful flower, and the world's going to throw you some love. So I want to welcome everybody to today's show. I have an incredible guest for you. I want to introduce the incredible, strategic, innovative Kamau Akabueze, affectionately known as KZA. He's a luminary in the realms of abstract strategy, innovative thinking, and visionary leadership, And as an abstract strategist, innovatist, and visionary thinker, Kamau embodies the essence of organic intelligence, driven by a passion for transformative growth and creative exploration. With over 25 years of career milestones, Kamau's journey is a tapestry woven with threads of brand identity craftsmanship, thoughtful communications, fabrication, and expressive experiential strategy. His approach to personal and commercial brand growth seamlessly merges analytical rigor with creative flair, ensuring that every strategy not only delivers results, but resonates vibrantly. A global citizen whose impact transcends continents and industries, Kamau has left an indelible mark on the top tier companies worldwide. His insights are not merely solutions to problems, they are catalysts for paradigm shifts, transforming perceptions and opening new realms of possibility. But Kamau's mission extends beyond corporate boardrooms. He is a mentor, a guide, and the visionary founder of the Alien School for Creative Thinking. Through this platform, he dedicates himself to empowering individuals to uncover their unique genius and nurture their creative talents, igniting a journey of professional and personal adventure. Kamau, thank you very much for being here today. How's it going?
It is going great. It is going great. Thank you much for that introduction. It's a beautiful day. Just got back from an awesome walk. And to walk into this reflection of myself already just feels great. So I deeply appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Joaquin for putting this together. Joaquin, indeed. Thank you very much, man. You're an awesome guy. We're stoked to be here.
The swarm. We're part of the swarm.
Unstoppable, man. I love the idea of the swarm.
Indeed. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. You know, yeah. I feel really blessed to have an incredible relationship with the people I love. You know, and it's I think we live in fascinating times, and when fascinating times arise, there's lots of opportunity. And I think that right now there's never been a better time for a creative mind to thrive, man. And I was hoping you could shed some light on that, man. Maybe you could give a little bit of background on what you're doing, the idea of creativity, the Alien School, wherever you want to start at, man.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that notion that you just talked about, this environment that we're in right now for the creative mind, there's so many incredible tools, incredible outlets, incredible opportunities, and we created such a wide world of inspiration for each other to create upon. I think the way that we inspire each other now and the ways that we can inspire each other now to think about ourselves creatively is exponential to what the world has offered to this point. And, you know, as much as there are the challenges of social access and the media that we're socializing through, when you curate the algorithm versus allowing the algorithm to curate you, there is a wide world of opportunity and inspiration for any creative mind to find a place to be in this world, like, beautifully. So I appreciate that recognition of the moment that we're in.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I talk to my daughter, you know, she's in fourth grade, and much like all kids in elementary school, there's this sort of idea that battles in between the minds of parents. Like, should you let them be on the internet? Should you let them to have the stuff, or should you not? And one strategy that we have used is, and I think this applies to myself and everybody listening, is that it's good to consume things that you like, but try to create things. And I think that that speaks to this idea that you were talking about, getting the momentum of creativity going. When you begin creating, it builds momentum. And all of a sudden you realize these skills that you, it's like having another hand. And all of a sudden you can build these other things, man. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Yes, indeed. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess I'll start with the alien school.
Okay,
because
please.
That's really at the crux of where I am right now. And you know, that whole career journey brought me to a point of understanding very clearly that as creative beings, all of us, every single one of us, as creative beings, we have such a significant way to go in our recognition of who we are. And a lot of the challenge in that recognition of how profound we are, each and every one of us as creators, is this tension that sits between our purpose and our passions and our potential. But that alienation, that feeling of alienation, that feeling of disconnection from a purpose, from our values, from a sense of contribution to the world that starts to bubble up in all of us, I think, at some point, some late in life, some early in life, is a boundary that we have the ability to collectively break through and to see each other a lot more holistically, to see the creative value that we can offer each other much more holistically, and to see creativity as something more than a profession and more than an art, but a opportunity in our everyday lives, in our relationships, you know, the environment that we can create in our relationships, the environment that we create in our homes for learning and growth, the environment that we create in our workplaces for great relationships and collaboration. There's such significant creative opportunities worked in every part of our life. And the Alien School was really born from my recognition of that, to offer, you know, those who are interested an opportunity to see creativity through a whole different lens and expand on the scope of creative opportunity beyond the professional, beyond the artistic, and almost become creative directors in our lives in some really beautiful ways.
Man, I love it. I love the message of that. And how did you get there, though? Like, when I hear terms like boundaries, you know, like,
yes.
Sometimes I've learned in my life that this thing that is like the obstacle is the way. And when you bump up against this boundary, it can be really frustrating. It can make you angry. It can really piss you off in so many ways. But the way you described it is like understanding and pushing and moving and poking that boundary is a way you can discover your own creativity. Man, how did you get there? Like, that's a huge thing to not only get to and understand, but to move through, man. How'd you do that?
I appreciate you asking. It was a long journey, right? I got the grades to show it.
Oh, I hear you, man. Me too.
It was a long journey. However, It's a beautiful journey. And how I got there was the recognition of the journey. True. It sounds simplified, but it was the recognition of the journey. So at a certain point in my career, after spending, you know, about 25 years in advertising, I was, you know, at a point where I could really see what my career had brought me to. I could see the heights that I wanted to reach. I could see the opportunities that I wanted to create. I could see it all having played out in interesting ways. And the fact that I got to exactly where I wanted to be, making the exact kind of money that I wanted to make, was a really interesting case of like long-term manifestation on my part. I could see it. I kind of claimed it at a certain point. I knew where I wanted to be. When I got there is when all of the lessons came at the same time. Because I was inside of an organization that had great opportunity for some real significant work, collaboration. I mean, the kind of talent that I was working with and working around, I was inspired every single day. At the same time, those same people that I was inspired by were coming to me on a regular basis and noting how much they were not exactly living out their gift, meaning they had come to the company to offer the best of what they had to offer. But because the company was in the situation that it was in, structurally, they ended up in positions doing work that really was not aligned with any of their talent or why they interviewed even to come to the company. And that was a repeated conversation that I was having over and over again. And then I realized that was a repeated conversation that I had over and over again throughout the course of my career. There were some people who were in great positions, they were doing exactly what they wanted to do, but the majority of dialogue I had was about how to reorient the place so that the talent could actually create the kind of opportunities for the company that they thought they were hired to create. And that gap was very clear to me that what I had done over my years was find ways for all those people to do the kind of work that they wanted to do. And I had created a pathway to show myself what I actually do. So it wasn't about the brands and the companies, even though I did great work with different brands and companies. What I really did was the work with the people. And that work became very meaningful for me to recognize because I was wondering where my own value was. And I recognized at that point that even though I got the title that I wanted, and I got the money that I wanted, I was alienated from the purpose that I serve. And in that moment, I was able to recognize my own purpose as a creative catalyst, as somebody who could see the beauty and the genius and the talent and found ways to help them to reach some heights, either through a reconnection with their own confidence or with a reconnection with the kind of work that they wanted to be doing. And then to see them blossom after that, to be in a position to be recognized for their talent, to go on and start other companies that would go on to be very successful, I could truly see clearly where my value and my purpose was. I was just serving it for other entities.
It's so amazing to get to hear a true breakdown of relationships from different points of view. And I think I've noticed this thread that runs through a lot of the interesting people I've talked to. And it's one that I see here is this ability to not only do the work you're doing, but to understand the meaning inside the work you're doing, regardless of where you work at. You know, you were doing, or you can do, or you have the ability to do very meaningful things. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is where, like, I get goosebumps when I think about that. I know so many people that wake up and hate what they do, or they go to this job and there's this misplaced anger. And like, there's tons of reasons for it. I'm not saying I've done it too, Yeah. But there is ways to find meaning in the thing you're doing. And when you do that, I feel like you find that divine spark in yourself. It sounds like that. It's beautiful, man. Did you feel when you were doing that, that it was a reflection of the path that you've been on, or what was that insight? Cause it almost sounds like you saw like a third person point of view of yourself doing this thing, man.
I mean, it's what is known as passenger consciousness.
I've never heard about this. Break this down for me, man.
All right. It's a tough one.
Okay.
Like passenger consciousness is a tough one because it requires you to see all of what you do. All.
Ooh.
You got to shine the light everywhere. You have to shine the light everywhere. And know that that light that you're shining is your purpose. To know yourself, to know what you do, and to know the effect that you have on others is each of our purpose. Because that effect is the only thing that we own. That impact that we have on others, that is truly ours. No one else has that. What you do for others, there's not another human on the planet who does for others what you do through your unique lens, your unique vantage point, your dimension of the universe is a super unique vantage point. Now, when you can elevate up and watch yourself and watch what you're doing and see what you are, how you are operating in the world, you become the passenger of your awareness. And being a passenger to your awareness is a beautiful opportunity because even things that you, the challenging behaviors that you may have been offering to the world are still a part of your journey and a part of who you are and who you've been and your recognition of all the ways that those behaviors have impacted you and others. It just shifts you from a fixed mindset, like almost like an opinion-oriented mindset, to one that is actually welcoming other people's vantage points into who you are. One of the most significant moments that I reached was when someone I was dating and who I was not treating well was saying some things to me about who she thought that I was. And I recognized that I was not those words. I'm not those words. And I had to really recognize that. I know what I've done, but I am not those words. Mm. And that took me on a whole adventure into myself to understand why I was being called something that I know that I'm not, even though I did what I did. And that acceptance and that recognition was a whole frame shift in my life and allowed me to step into the passenger side of my experience and dualistically have a relationship with who I am and what I do.
Man.
That's what I mean. It's not easy work. It's not light work, but it is light work.
I'm beginning to understand the reason why it's called the alien school. On some level, you know, seeing yourself for the first time is alien. And another level, it's very alienating. You know what I mean? To see yourself and start pinpointing these behaviors you've had all your life, but you've never been aware of. It's like this, who is this person? Have I been that person my whole life? Holy cow, I have. You know, it's like the UFO, man. Like I see it for the first time.
See it for the first time. It is. You are the unidentified flying object until you identify yourself.
That should be a t-shirt.
It will be.
Amazing.
But that identification process is really a beautiful journey for folks who are willing to lean into it. But the reason I started the alien school specifically is, to your point, it is not easy. It's not easy when you start to awaken to your truth, the truth of who you've been, and the truth of who you have the potential to be. A little bit of hand-holding is valuable there. Some instructions, some ways to navigate through that experience and to understand that this is an experiential journey. And the only way to know your progress is to experience yourself in the world progressing. Listening to how the world is responding to that progression and seeing the opportunities that are coming to you as a result of the progress that you're making in your awareness of yourself. And there's a big collaboration that happens between myself and the scholars who come into the school and the organizations that I work with, because it's a significant exchange of truth. I am exactly who I am, and the situation that I'm walking into with a student, a scholar, with an organization is exactly what it is. I can bring my opinions from previous environments, or I could just look at truth. And when the parties on the other end are willing to accept the truth, it is revolutionary. It's revolutionary.
I admire I hear different ways in which you're interpreting language. In the beginning, or just a moment ago, you spoke about this relationship with language where people were using these words that weren't you. You also have this just recently talking about seeing truths instead of opinions.
Yeah.
But it seems like you have a very deep understanding of language. And I'm wondering if you can elaborate on this language that you have with the environment. You know, you said that when you walk into the environment, like the opportunities that come your way are speaking to you. Maybe you could like flesh that out a little bit. I agree with it, but I'm very curious about it.
Yeah. I'll put it through a lens of something that we all kind of talk about feel or fear. Karma, right? The notion of karma we understand it as a retributive action. Like if we do something negative, then something negative is going to happen to us. If we do something positive, then something positive is going to happen to us. Karma does not have an opinion about good or bad at all. Karma is just presenting you with an opportunity. So if you are feeling as though you've been doing something that deserves some retribution, then an opportunity to face that is going to come, because we are leaning ourselves into that energy. We're leaning ourselves towards that. Our spirit, our energy, our system knows that that behavior is not exactly who we are. And we can accept the new opportunity that's naturally coming to us. It's naturally coming. Karma is naturally flowing, granting us an opportunity to deal with the same issues that we've had and move beyond them. Now, what people know this to be are these loops of behaviors and loops of situations in our lives that kind of happen over and over again in different flavors and different colors, because we're talking to different people, or we're in a different environment, or we're in a different situation, different circumstance. But the overall situation is circular. It's a bit of the same. And it's coming back to us for our benefit, to give us an opportunity to work through some of the things karmically that we have not necessarily dealt with effectively. And, you know, karma is like the whys, the questions that we have in our head. That wave is just like the whys that we have in our head. And our lives are an opportunity to answer the question or get those questions answered so that we can move forward. But if we're looping on the same questions, then we're going to deal with the same circumstances until we can address what the world has to offer us in terms of opportunity to move forward. When we start to re-understand the fact that, like, you know, karma, air, life doesn't have an opinion, that we're allowed to move forward, that we can push those boundaries, we can push those invisible walls, we can knock them down, we can climb them, we can create things from them if we want to, we can do anything we want with the invisible walls we've built around ourselves. It's our imagination. It's what do we want to do with the walls? What are we going to build with these fascinating imaginary structures that we've placed around ourselves? It's a creative opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we're like in this cosmic dojo and the sensei is always watching. And at any point in time you want to take the test to go to the next belt, he's watching and he's constantly throwing you the test. Here's five boards. Can you break them? Here's four bricks. You know, and then I think we get confused because when you break it, you're like, wait, that's not what I expected to happen. What do you mean I lost my job? What do you mean I lost this relationship? That's not supposed to happen like that. Right?
Correct.
You just move right. Okay, you made the next classroom. Get over here. Wait, what about graduation? What about all these things? You know, like, it doesn't care.
You pass, celebrate. You celebrate. Take it in yourself. You celebrate that passage, right? And then move forward.
Yeah, it's so true. It's the idea of patterns in our life, you know, and the recognitions of the patterns in our life and the people around us. Sometimes it takes that other person to validate the pattern that you know in your life. Like you see, you keep battling the same dragon over and over that wears different masks. And then maybe you meet a friend or a mentor or a guide or a stranger even. It's like, hey, man, you notice this thing? And it changes. Like, but maybe you could speak to that idea of relationships with the pattern.
Yeah. The relationship with the pattern. Oh, man. The relationship with the pattern came clear to me when I could actually see my own patterns, see how comfortable I was doing the same thing over and over again. here's the example that I will, you know, provide, super personal. In my dating life, so I live in Jersey City, New Jersey, right across the river from Manhattan, New York City. Worked in Manhattan for, 20 out of those 25 years, and really enjoy the city. But living in Jersey City, are you familiar with like the stigma of New Jersey?
Like, hey, yo, I just seen like a bunch of movies like that, you know? So like, I do have the total stigma of like Goodfellas or something.
So you got that stigma. You got like the MTV Jersey Shore stigma.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stigmas about Jersey, right? Now, all of those stigmas help to form opinions. And that I'm just going to like stick that there for a minute. Okay. So those opinions are formed and they're forged through media and through people's experiences and all that kind of good stuff. But when people move to New York, they're moving to like the big city of dreams, to like the land of milk and honey, the land of opportunity. It's buzzing. It's popping all the time. It's great. I would consistently end up dating women who lived in Manhattan while I lived in Jersey City. And they were consistent. There was a consistent issue. Number one, that I live in Jersey. Number two, I'm a father, right? So I have a 6-year-old kid. I'm a really dedicated father. I pour a lot of time and energy into him. And like, that's my, one of the things I really, really enjoy in my experience is the joy of fatherhood. And I would end up in dating situations where there was always a concern about my geography, being I lived in Jersey, and or my role as a father and that like dedication, that commitment, or any of the things associated with that. That became such a pattern so much that I became the problem, meaning that I didn't have the confidence anymore that going into any dating situation that somebody would accept my geography and my status as a father, something that I loved. And so I was consistently compromising who I am and what I love looking for something external to validate consistently. And it got to the point where I was telegraphing the disappointment. I was pre-programming the disappointment into the relationship cycle. And I would leave it there, not knowing that I was leaving it there energetically, emotionally, practically. And then I would get super disappointed with the result and be in all kinds of other emotional battles because of this other battle that I was just creating for myself. It took a long time to see that pattern, and it took my behavior dipping into its worst for me to understand that I was at the center and that it wasn't about who they were. It wasn't about the opinions that they had. They had no agency over the opinions that they had formed about New Jersey. It was just what they had consumed. That part I can't control. But what I can look at differently is my own love for where I am, my geography, where I place myself, my address, and for the value that I place on my role as a father, and make those unconditional elements in the kind of relationship that I want to have, not only with myself, but with anyone coming into my life. So that pattern recognition is that's what I mean about the passenger consciousness.
Yeah.
You have to really elevate above the emotion and elevate above the situation to see where I mm-hmm. am contributing to the environment emotionally, practically, scientifically, situationally, geographically, all of it. I've got a responsibility, and I started to take that responsibility onto myself once I started to recognize the pattern that I was co-creating.
Mm. It's interesting to see, like, I like the metaphor of like setting traps that you don't even, like, you're setting these little time bombs for yourself, man. You don't even realize. And then sometimes for me, when I pan out, I realize, holy shit, my dad taught me to set these traps.
Mm-hmm.
Because my, you know what I mean? And like, you're like, mm-hmm. And on some level, as hard as that is, you know, you got to get past this idea. And you know, I work on it still. And I know some people do. It's like, you have this blame game, but then you realize what, shit, I'm holding this thing. It's not even mine. It's not even mine. Why am I holding on to this, man?
Why am I holding it?
You know what? Maybe I can free my dad from this if I fix this. You know, maybe this thing has been, it's my turn to solve the problem. Maybe this thing got to me so that I can solve it for everyone. And then that becomes like liberating. Like, okay, yeah, like I fucking fall into this thing sometimes, but you know what? I'm going to stop it here so that my son doesn't have to do it. You know, in fact, I'm going to talk about it in front of him. And so, hey, here's this trap I've been setting. If you see me set it, help me out over here. You know, and it's so crazy to like sit above yourself, and not only above yourself, but your family, and
yes.
Sit back for a minute and look at it and be like, okay, hold the blame for a little bit. Go ahead, man. Blame everybody. Go ahead. How does that feel? Can you blame yourself? Blame your parents? Blame your kid? Holy shit. Blame your kid. You know what I mean? But like to hold on to all of that for a minute and then realize it's too big to hold and let it go.
Yes.
Like, man, that's a big part of it, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said there about this thing is not for me. You know, that,
yeah.
That is, it's so important. It's such an important recognition, especially with our parents.
Yeah.
Especially. They've been given their own challenges
yep.
to surmount. And though we grew up with them, but they're not ours. They're not ours. And the more that we can understand that pattern and what it actually is encoding into us, that's when that other relationship with the truth comes in, right? Because there's a reason why I feel, why do I feel this way every single time they say this thing?
Yep.
Oh, there's a truth to that. It's not yours. It's why it doesn't feel right energetically. It's just not yours. It's not the worry that I talked to my mother about, you know, my mother is a warrior. She got it from her mother and she assumed it. Like she can say, I got it from my mother.
Yeah.
She can say that. And she assumed it. And she said that to me in a message once. And cause she was talking about, you know, just worrying about me. And she mentioned that she was feeling that thing that she knew she got from her mother. And it was the first time that I could recognize that that was for her, not for me. And the conversation that we had about that afterwards lasted about like a good 3 hours because it was the first time that I could say, I don't need it. I motivate myself a different way. The worry part is not how I motivate myself. That's yours. However, I would like to understand why it's so valuable for you. Because she had been holding on to it. So it's like, why is it so valuable for you? That conversation was revolutionary.
Do you think that early on in the conversation, we spoke about this time of creativity? Hmm. And when I, in this conversation and a lot of other ones that I've had, like, I feel like this part of what allows you to be creative is having these types of conversations about what is possible in your own life, what is possible with these invisible walls, what is possible about your habits, and are there habits that are not only detrimental, but maybe there's habits that are good for you. Like maybe it's where we're at in our life, or I'm at, or you're at in your life, but I feel like this is what's happening, is this sort of awakening to the realization that you are in control. Maybe this is what freedom looks like. And that's why it's so chaotic right now, is there's so many people coming to this conclusion of like, shit, I've had enough of this. You know, I've had enough. I'm going to start making my life a little bit better. I'm going to start with me. I can't control what happens out there, but yes. I control me. I control my relationship. I can be better. Like this awakening to yourself, becoming the best version of yourself, man. Like, and when I talk about you and the alien squads, I feel like you're teaching that to people, man. Like you're yes. teaching people to take responsibility for the good and the bad, man. Is that what's going on over there?
That is what's going on.
I love it.
I'm so glad that you see it. That is what's going on because it's a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility. It is challenging to recognize yourself, as I talked about earlier. However, there's not a bubble around the earth. There's nothing blocking us from the space dust that we are connecting with on a regular basis. We're all sharing and connecting with the same cosmic electric energy. It's not even metaphysical, it's just science. And what we have as a result is a world of opportunity, a world of opportunity
yeah.
to sit back, take a deep breath, breathe in the cosmos, breathe in your surroundings, breathe in your environment, breathe in some awareness to where you are, breathe in some awareness of your emotional state. Tell yourself some good things. Tell yourself some progressive and positive things. Observe your potential. Observe where you're cutting your potential off. See where there's incredible creative opportunities that you never knew you had with the kind of relationships that you can foster and the kind of environment that you can create and the kind of companies that we can create. We have that opportunity. It is limitless when we recognize that we're here to co-create, not just to create. We're here to co-create. This is a collaborative choose your own adventure game.
I'm a huge fan of language, and in our conversation, like I keep hearing the metaphor of vision. Like, let's see what we can create. When you talk about advertising and you talked about the passenger consciousness, inside that language is vision. Like you're seeing what is possible. Maybe you could speak to your relationship with language, words, and vision and metaphors. That seems like to be something that is probably is a gift on some level for advertising, but more than that, a gift in helping people and teaching people. You could speak to the idea of imagery and words and using them together.
I mean, it's no mistake that I found myself in a business where I found myself in a business where I could explore communication. True. back to the story of my mom.
Right.
When I was a kid, my mother said "damn you" so many times, I had to actually go to a dictionary and look up the word "damn" to figure out what it meant, so I could say, "Ma, what? Why do you keep saying this to me?" But I legitimately went to a dictionary to try and understand what that word meant because I was hearing it so much. Mm-hmm. It helped me to understand the vibration of words. And that's really what we're talking about here, is the vibration of our communication. Back to the bubble that's not around the earth. When we say a word, we're also breathing that word. And the way that you might feel about a word that I say to you or a way I say something to you has an impact on your body in some way. It might excite you, it might get you on the edge of the seat, it might sit you back. What we're missing in that is that words have weight atomically. Mm. There's an atomic weight to words. And when we are exploring the way that we can use language, then we are exploring the many, many opportunities that we have to communicate with each other in ways that are really, really profound and really, really precise and really artful and really beautiful, like truly. However, if you only have one point of view on a word, so let's say, let's talk about boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Most of the boundaries in human life are born of our minds, are born of the boundaries that we decide to create, whether we create that boundary in our relationship, in the way that we want to be engaged, in the way that a company operates, in a way that we are, you know, required to do our taxes. There's these boundaries that are created. And that all comes from our thinking, and maybe we need systems to make things better. Maybe we need systems to account for things. But when we create a boundary, when we think about the boundaries that we are surrounding ourselves with, then we also can simultaneously understand that we are boundless and limitless. Because there's nothing that's actually keeping us in place except our own boundary, which is learned. Like, we learned it. We understand it through what we learned. However, that boundary is only fixed to the point that your mind places it. And so the value in every part of a word matters. And the boundlessness that exists in the boundaries that we create for ourselves is the lesson that we're actually here to learn. But if you only have one view, if your view is only that a boundary cannot be surpassed, then you will not surpass the boundaries in your mind. And it's just an expansion. It's an expansion of the potential of words, the potential of communications, the potential meaning in a word, the potential meaning in why I communicated the way that I communicated, knowing that you may have said it differently. And it brings us back to the truth. Yes, and that's still the way that I said it. Yes, and it's still the way that I said it. And that acceptance is really, really beautiful. And so when we are, when I worked my way through my career, I just started to understand that communication was much more meaningful than the advertising practice, the public relations practice, the way that we collaborate, communication and the vibration of a communication can change lives. It can change the state of thinking, can change the temperature in a room. You know, when somebody comes in a room and they start talking about how hot it is, but you may not be hot, all of a sudden you're like, am I hot? That's a feeling, that's a sensation that just came from a word. And that recognition is really beautiful, and it opens up our understanding of the layers, the layers that exist within what we're communicating on a regular basis. And the appreciation for that really transforms the way that relationships can be built by seeing the value in the words that someone's using from their vantage point.
Yeah, it's really well said. The idea of the spoken word, it's I was going to take a minute to think about it for a minute, if that's okay.
No, all good. All good. All good. But I mean, you got to think about it. You know, I actually, so today,
okay,
just this morning, I got a word of the day from, you know, one of my email lists.
Yeah.
And the word of the day today was, I believe it was horripilation. H-O-R-R-I-P-U-L-A-T-I-O-N. Horripilation. Now, horripilation is goosebumps. It's the feeling that you get when you hear something that gives you goosebumps. And I was like, I guess that's why horror films are called horror films, because they're meant to like raise fears, raise that energy, raise the hairs you know, on our arm. And it really defines within itself what the power of a word is, or the power of the word is, because just in the definition of that one word, you can actually see how a word, a spoken word, has atomic weight that can create an actual feeling in the body, a whole sensation.
It's interesting to think about how, you know, even if you go back to scripture, in the beginning there was the word.
Boom.
When you start thinking about, like, you can't have anything until you have a linguistic pathway for it. But once you speak it into existence, once I cast this spell upon myself of what is possible, I am removing the boundaries. I am speaking into existence a dream that is now possible. When you talk about it's a dream, when you envision it's possible, when you schedule it, boom, it becomes real. You're manifesting it in real life. Come on, I'm going to take a quick bio break, man. Are you okay on time? I know you had 35
I'm gonna
minutes.
I'm going to do a bio break as well. I'm going to check in, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. Everybody, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. All right.
Back. All right. I'm good time-wise, so we can roll.
Yes, I'm so thankful. I feel like we're starting to move into some fascinating territory. I was thinking about this idea of synesthesia. You know how like sometimes you experience, you can smell words, or you can smell thoughts, or you can feel like just the mixing up of senses. Yes. And when I hear a really intelligent person, great speaker, it's almost as if their words are communicating to you, like all your senses are engaged. I feel like that's why the spoken word is so meaningful, because even though you and I could listen to a really engaging speaker, and we may not even hear the same thing, we feel this thing. Hmm. Maybe you could speak to that idea, like the spoken word and engaging all the senses.
Yeah. I mean, in modern times, the verbal shot heard around the world is I have a dream.
I love it.
The verbal shot heard around the world, I have a dream, because that is relatable to every single human being, and every single human being can feel that and feel it in their own way. Every single person can feel that in their own way. That makes every dream divine, every single one. But at the same time, is the challenge of our co-creative existence is that we all have a dream. And when we can get together around something like that, when we can collaborate around something like that, when we can warm our hearts to each other's dreams, then there's something that's really beautiful there. But it was an activation, right? Because we're living it. Dr. King manifested something that we are living. And because his words ring and come back every year because of their timelessness and their connectivity to every being, it allows for that concept to continue to evolve into our lives. That's really the beauty of words when felt as like colloquial, felt as universal, felt as and spoken as authentic from the self. His definition, Dr. King's definition, was not a definition that was meant to be disputed. His definition was not a definition that was meant to be disputed. And oftentimes, when we're told that our dream isn't valid, we start to tell ourselves the wrong things about our potential. And that inner talk is as important as the words that we're communicating out into the world. And so that inner talk is where the word really starts to gain its life, because we're going to breathe that energy out. We're going to breathe that energy that we are thinking into our bodies. We're going to breathe it out into the world, and it's going to mix with everybody else's thoughts and dreams. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. And so, that linguistic understanding and that opportunity that we have to lean deeper into our own truths and lean deeper into the things that we believe in and lean deeper into the limits that we want to break together allows for more understanding of how communication can lift up the world, can lift up the vibration, can lift up the kind of opportunities that are shifts in consciousness, real shifts in consciousness. And that can happen on a one-on-one, or that can happen on a global level. It just depends on the scale that you choose to communicate your vision with. It's challenging to put it all into just words because, like you said, it's the vibration. Where that word, where those words, where your relationship with your thinking and your heart emanates from is then expressed out in the world. And that's a constant exchange that we should be aware of in our words, in our thoughts, because they're interrelated.
I think you could even say you have a responsibility to create that inner voice that is the best possible, because it's timeless. When you talk about Dr. King's, I've been to the mountaintop, or I have a dream. Like, I right now have a form of a what is it called again? I want to say horophony, but that's not right. It's the
horripilation. Horripilation.
I am feeling horripilation right now, and it's timeless. You can go back, and you may, while none of us were in Birmingham, like, I can watch that speech and I can feel inspired because that vibration still exists through time. And if that is true, then the words you and I have today could inspire someone 5 years from now. And you almost have a responsibility to breathe out that energy, not only inside that you're creating inside your mind, but to putting it out in the world. Like, that's how we make it better, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that's how everything loops back in really beautiful ways, because now we come back to responsibility. Yep. And creative responsibility and creative opportunity. All starts right there, right in the heart, right into that center that we're breathing into. And the more that we're connected to that center, like, what's at the core of what I am saying? What's at the root of what I am saying? And speak from that place. Then we can really see the impact of our words. Right. But again, it's like you said, it's a great, great responsibility. And learning to take advantage of that responsibility and opportunity is the kind of work that, you know, myself at the Alien School, and, you know, even the work that you're doing, and yeah, you know, other great, you know, coaches and guides are really working to help people to see is our agency to create in the world. We're all going to create through very different lenses.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see. I'm currently running this real life experiment where how much can I put out? Like, I'm testing this theory of, if you get up every day and you listen to your heart and you put out love and you put out powerful ideas and you see the best in everyone, the world will respond in a way that is not only better than you imagine, but better than you can imagine. And it's this letting go. It's this, like, okay, I don't know what's gonna happen later. You know, I'm gonna stop working at this place where I was making $150. You know, I'm gonna just do what I love. And I want my daughter. I want your son. I want everyone listening to this kid. I want their lives to be better. I want them to be able to grow up and do what they love and be compensated for, however that compensation is. And I think that, like, I wish more people would run that experiment, because that's like kind of one of my secret goals is, like, I'm gonna just flood the love out here and be like, look, this is possible. Watch, I'm gonna do it. You know, and when you do that, you're like that pebble in a calm pond of water radiating outwards, and people are starting to ride that wave and they're attracted to it, you know? And I see that's what's going on at the Alien School too. I think that's one reason why I wanted to reach out to you. Like, I see, you know, I see the love, I see the creative potential for making everyone around you better and an affinity for it, man. Yes. Awesome. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no, it is a true affinity. I appreciate you saying it that way. It is a true affinity. I love the potential in the work that I do, because I can just see the genius, like the beautiful genius in every single person. One of the things you said was, you know, as you go, your imagination shifts. You're expanding your imagination, right, as you learn. And so the beauty in that is, that is true expansion, meaning we've been given this beautiful gift of imagination. It's such an amazing gift. It's so amazing that it can lock us in place. It can lock us in fear. Our imagination alone can lock us in fear or unlock us into freedom. The fact that it can do both is what we should be fully aware of. And the work that we do to expand our imaginations and to achieve heights that allow us to then further expand our imaginations, to think beyond the known and to think beyond what we think we know, is the practice of learning that we don't know anything. It's the practice of learning. We don't know anything. And the more that we recognize that we don't know anything, yet we're still here and we have incredible opportunity, the more that we expand our imagination into possibility, into potential, and into this invisible alchemy that is waiting for us, the sitting with us and allowing us to breathe great ideas and beautiful thoughts and beautiful visions into the world. One breath at a time, one step at a time. And that's the process, one breath, one step at a time. It's the only way we get there together.
Yeah, I feel like it's inviting us, like, hey, come over here. I gotta show you something. Why is it? Like, I've never thought about it from this angle before. And thanks for putting it this way. Imagination having the power to lock us in fear. Why is it that we use our imagination to fuel fear when you can just as you can use it to fuel boundlessness? Like, it seems, for at least for me and a lot of people I know, we get stuck there. Like, we do use our imagination to fuel fear, and like that like holds us back. Like, what do you think that is?
We are born into chaos.
It's true.
We are born into chaos. I mean, look, a baby is not crying when it comes out the womb for a reason. We are born into chaos, and we are in the process of managing chaos. It's an incredible weight that I think we feel, because so many things are undefined until we can define them through action, or we can define them through experience, or we can define them through, or they're defined for us.
Right.
Now, are you going to have it defined for you, or are you going to go out and seek definition? This is the question to answer for yourself in the midst of chaos. And when you decide to actually go out and get the answers for yourself and believe the answers that come to you, that's when you're imagining that there is a resolution for that discordant feeling. It's the pursuit. It's the journey. It's actually the seeking of answers in the midst of chaos. We can't escape the chaotic element of it. We're literally affixed to a ball by an invisible force floating in space. Like, it just is fact. That is naturally chaotic in itself, at a macro level, but it's also super fun because gravity is like, hey, what do you want to do? You want to run and jump? Great, do that. You want to fly? Cool, go do that. You want to go out there in space? You can do that too. Gravity, like, has our back.
Yeah.
Right, gravity has our back in the midst of this chaos. And so at least you know there's one element, one global element that has your back. It's gravity. You add air to that, you get two massive global elements that have your back all the time. So what do you do with safety and security and breath that's just naturally provided by Earth's rotation? That's the big question to answer through progress, through time, through experience, through observation, through appreciation, through gratitude, through awareness, through consciousness, through stepping back. Those practices in the midst of being held and cared for and breathed by the planet, really change your relationship with your imagination and what you can do with the potential of the moment. Gravity holds you in the moment. Oxygen prepares you for the moment. Life prepares you for the moment. What do you do with the moment? And that's where our imaginations can be fixed in place. Everything just only is what it is. Or our imaginations can allow us to see the value in every single step. Every single step in the adventure towards where we either know that we're going, like you talked about, you fix it, you tell the cosmos where you want to go, and the cosmos is like, cool, let's get you.
Yeah.
It may not be, actually, it will not be
guaranteed
the way that you want it to be. It will not. When I started the alien school, I didn't know that we'd be having this conversation. I'm so glad that we're having it. It was an idea. I didn't know that we'd be having this conversation, but I'm so glad that we're having it. And I'm so glad that I've taken every step that's gotten us to this conversation. That's the gratitude for the journey. That's the awareness of the moment. That's the appreciation for the co-creative opportunity that we have from the great distance that we have between us. It's powerful.
It's huge. Like it's spiritual in some way. What do you think of when I say the word spiritual?
This is a word that that probably needs some reconditioning. Oh man, I've had a very interesting journey in my life with spirituality. Okay. I've actually thanked my mother recently for not bringing me up religiously. My mother was a part of the Nation of Islam. Mother explored some other different religions after she had moved on from the Nation of Islam. And I didn't really grow up with any religion, fixed religion in the household. I would go to church with my grandmothers and, you know, occasionally would find myself in some ceremonial place or some ceremonial environment, church-like. Grew up in a like predominantly Jewish community back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. And I didn't really have a relationship with spirituality because all I knew it as was religion growing up. That's really all I knew. And I didn't know much about religion because I didn't really grow up too deep or densely fixated into it. So my encounter with spirituality really came when I came out of my first understanding of some of the really negative impacts in my behavior. And I sought out a coach who happened to also be a shaman. But I went to him for the coaching. He just also happened to be a shaman. And he introduced me to the magic of the world. I'll just say it
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
The fact that there is this really interconnected nature to who we are and what we are, that we are at some point as humanity, we've got to get to the point where we recognize that we're born of the same thing.
Yeah.
And whenever we get to that point, that we are born of the same thing, that we're all born of the same spark, you know, those barriers will really start to break down where we don't actually need the word spirituality to define life, to define existence. Because when I think about spirituality, I just think about existence. The fact that we share this earth in this ball floating around inside of this amazing cosmic space that we're floating around in. It's just true. And when we can find that union at a certain point of our humanity and then our relationship with other organic life mm-hmm. and our relationship with all that we have co-created together, like we created this apartment that I'm in is a creation. This device, this rectangle I'm talking to is a creation. The stand that my device, that my rectangle is sitting on, is a creation. When we start to see the dope things that we're doing for each other.
Yeah.
The truly dope things that we're doing for each other to connect each other, there will be less need for words like spirituality.
It's so fascinating to me that the language and the affinity we have for the words, and you know, whether you look at the etymology of what a word came from, on some level, they still fail to accurately communicate the true meaning of it. Like you're right, spirituality is such a limiting word. Mm-hmm. But like, so, and we worship spirituality, but it's still so limiting in so many ways, and it's defined in so many different, it has all these different shapes to it, and like, yeah, that's not my spirituality, this is my religion spirituality. Like, but if you, sometimes that's why the silent pause, quietness, that ability to sit in silence with someone else is so beautiful, because you're just enjoying the actual spiritual nature of one another and recognizing it in the silence, right? Like, that's why they say silence can be deafening, right? Like, it's so beautiful. If you sit outside on a beautiful day, regardless of where you are, and you take in that deep breath, like, that is spiritual. That is, yes, understanding the true divinity, that true spark of who you are. And it's, mm-hmm, I love asking that question, man. Thanks for answering it that way.
Indeed, indeed. It's a truth that hit me through just exploring the fact that I didn't have all these religious fixations, and I needed to actually understand a little bit more about what the holding place was of religion. I didn't get it. Truly, I didn't get it. I was walking on the beach in LA, and a beautiful spirit handed me a card, and she called me a sinner. And I grabbed the card and I kept walking, and I stopped in my tracks, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't think I'm that. And I turned around and I went back to her and I had a conversation, because I was really curious why she classified me that way without knowing me. And I'm just like a person walking on the beach. I wanted to understand that, you know, how, why I was classified as a sinner just by my being. And we had a good conversation. It was one where I, for the first time, understood that in a lot of different religious studies and ideologies, there is only one story. And as I was looking around and listening to her, I had to ask, I was like, so none of these other stories are this one story, this is the only story that matters. And I finally understood why I had such a resistance to religion when I was aware of it, because I actually believe in everybody's story as is. And if you don't have that belief in everybody's story as is, it's really difficult to connect with the world as is. And I'm actually really good with the world as is, because I can feel the progress that we're making. I can feel it. It's slower than any of us want it to be on any level, but it's beautiful.
That's a great way to look at it. And, you know, we see this progress through maybe 100 years if we're lucky. We think that's a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, man, it's just a wind. Yeah, man. So why would it be that fast? Like, but to just to take a moment and see the progress, like, mm-hmm, just to look back, you know, and or to look forward and be like, wow, we are moving in a direction that is glorious. It may not seem glorious like it today, but it is. You know, if you can look back and you could find it, like, then you can find that thread to follow. It's it's looking for all of us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We've made amazing progress. Truly, we've made amazing progress. The fact that we are, especially on the American front, in a bit of like a Jetsons life, like, we're in this like lo-fi, hi-fi, where we got all the technology in the world. We're doing Jetson shit.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse, but
yeah,
like,
it's all good, man.
We're doing Jetsons things. Look at what we're doing right now. This is Star Trek. what's happening right now. We're not appreciating all these advancements because we're mired in opinion. We're mired in all these other things that are keeping us away from an appreciation for where we are. And I'm personally glad that I've been offered an opportunity to appreciate where we are from a less colorized vantage point, from a less fixated vantage point. It's opened me up to the kind of relationships that I've always wanted in my life. It's opened me up to the kind of creative value that I've wanted in my life. It's opened me up to the spirit of entrepreneurship, not as not as starting a business, but following my intention, following my purpose, and not affixing it to the structure, but knowing that I could take advantage of the structure.
This brings up, so with a career in advertising and a career in branding and seeing things the way they are, and we couple that with creativity, and then we couple that to where we are in the world today, it seems to me that we're moving into a place where everyone's co-creating, but everyone is their own company. Everyone is their own brand. And like that seems to be a pretty glorious place when you can go out and rep the thing that you love the most and have people come to you for that. Like, is that something that that you see moving forward, the future unfolding in that way, as the individual becoming their own brand, or maybe that's not the right word for it, but their own entrepreneurial sort of, it just seems like the next evolution of each individual is their own entity on some level. I know that it's not the best way to describe it, but what's your take on that?
No, you described it well. You described it well. And it's, I'm going to try to like be concise in this.
Okay.
Where we are right now is a beautiful training ground for where we will ultimately be.
That isn't good.
Once we connect with the fact that we actually are our, like our brand matters, who we are truly matters, and that definition of who we are and that expression of who we are truly matters, not for the likes, not for the transactional element, but for the ascension of the globe, for the growth and expansion of our beauty as humanity. Again, there's these release points that are out there for us, but we're just in a training ground right now. We are, and that's why we've offered ourselves social media. We've offered ourselves companies and corporations and brands. We've offered ourselves all these examples of what it takes to craft an identity so that we can understand the fictitious nature of crafting identity. When we fully understand the fictitious nature of crafting identity, we'll actually find ourselves reconnecting to ourselves. We don't need another layer over top of our humanity. It's cool in the moment that we're in, but it's not necessary.
I like that, the fictitious buildup of these stories. And maybe it speaks to the idea of why stories are so important. You know, whether you're telling the story of Apple, or you're telling the story of Nike, or you're telling the story of the hero's journey, you know, what a training ground that is. And then to be able to absorb all those stories and find the meaning in them and interpret them the right way for your individual lens to play out a story. It's beautiful.
We're inspiring each other. We're truly inspiring right? each other. It's so beautiful, Jordan.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. We are inspiring each other in so many awesome ways. And I've always been grateful to be able to sit back and see that, and to have worked with the kind of people that I've worked with, to see the genius that I've seen over the course of my life, and see the passion that I've seen for making something beautiful, making an experience great, making every pixel mean something. You know, I work with people who just every pixel, it means something to them, and it's not always appreciated. You know, it's not always appreciated how invested we can be in making magic, in creating beauty, in creating experiences for each other, in entertaining each other. Like, we're here for each other in such amazing ways, and we're inspiring each other in such amazing ways. We're doing it through a challenging structure and crucible for, like, the human heart. But again, this is about exponential growth well beyond our existence. You know, the examples of ancient times have come forth to inform us for our future. It's not hidden. It's just now, it's just on the internet now. The internet didn't exist. It was never hidden. It was just, we didn't have the internet. Now we got it.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic to be able to access wisdom from the ages, understand its value to the now, and be able to actively make efforts to transcend that into a better future for everybody. And, you know, it speaks to something that you spoke to earlier when we were talking about Dr. King and his words, like, truth bends time.
Yes.
It's just an arrow. Truth is an arrow through time. Mm. And as truth bends time for us, we are going to learn the flexibility to move with truth. That's just our journey. And it's what I see in our journey. And, you know, one of the reasons why I take the work at the Alien School so seriously is because the more humans that connect with who they are, connect with their purpose, connect with their creative spirit, and find a remedy, you know, for the alienation that we have a tendency to feel in the different environments that we are learning and growing in, there's a real, tangible, beautiful offering to the future that goes along with that. And this is just my vehicle for that offering.
What, maybe you can talk to us more about the Alien School. Is it like, let's say that there's people watching right now and they're like, this is amazing. How do I get a hold of this guy? Like, is it something they enroll in? Is it something that you can do online? Is it only in New Jersey, or tell us more about it.
Yeah. So, the school is global right now, working with students in, Trinidad, in the United States, in, Dubai, in Hawaii. Again, because of these devices that we have available to us, the Alien School can be anywhere that the Alien School needs to be. It is a learning environment, and so there is an enrollment. And when you go to the alienschool.com, there is a growing frequently asked questions section. If you have any questions about the Alien School, it's in that frequently asked questions section, because those are questions that people just ask me randomly when I'm talking about the school. And I'm like, you know what? That's another question for the FAQs. And so I write those responses there. What's really important for anyone to understand is that there's a lot of work that goes into diving into oneself and hearing oneself and seeing one's creative opportunity. And because I've been around such brilliant creatives during my, you know, time working in advertising, I just have this ability to see the beauty in talent, the beauty in gifts, the beauty in the genius that kind of sits in everybody. So when you come to the Alien School, the first thing you should know is that I know that you're a genius already. It's that part is already solved because you're there and we're having a conversation. Everything that we do over the bespoke semesters that we build. So I build a semester of work that lasts about 4 months, sometimes 6 months. It really depends on that particular scholar's or that organization's intentions. Over the course of that time is the work to unfurl that genius, to let it be seen and let it be known, and to determine where that genius is actually going to get applied into the creative opportunities in one's life. So over that, you know, 4 to 6 month time frame that we work together, There's various meditations, lessons, mantras, content that is created exclusively for you. That's some of it in my voice, a lot of it in your own voice, a lot of it pulled from, you know, some of the, you know, the wisdom of the world, so that as we get closer and closer to an understanding of your genius, you actually have a toolkit, a virtual toolkit of resources that help you to move through that relationship in a way that allows for the experience of being a creative being to really take hold. The genius is just going to continue to express itself. And the other reason why I work in this 4 to 6 month time frame is because you really need to take the time to get to understand who a person is and what this human has been articulating into the world, because that's really the first sign of their genius, is how they got to the conversation, the orientation conversation that we're having. Once that's clear, then it really is off to the races, but none of the work works unless you do the work. And any good coach, any good therapist, any good mental health worker, any good kinesiologist, physical therapist will say that none of this works unless you do. And it's a profound understanding to apply to the alien school. And that's why I put the word school on there, because there's a lot of work that goes into recognizing the potential that you have in the world and then harnessing it with beauty and optimism and enthusiasm and the encouragement of someone who truly believes in everything that you are.
I love it, man. I think people should go down to the show notes, click on the links down there, and check you out. If someone wanted to reach out, do they do like a free conference call? A discovery call?
Okay. The very first call is taking a tour of your creative self. Nice. So across the website, you'll see a little button that says take a tour of your creative self. And that's a 30-minute call between you and I. We dive into an understanding of why you're here in the first place, what brought you to the alien school, what brought you to an understanding of your own creativity, how you live in the world. We really kind of dive into some clarity on why we're having a conversation. From there, there's a little orientation booklet that I send over to the scholars, and that gives me a little bit more insight into who they are. And our first session together, our first kind of work session, is setting intentions. And I can't remember who the magician is that said these words, but they said that every intentional act is a magical act. And the reason why we do the intention setting at the beginning of the semester is because when we set those intentions, there is no doubt that you're going to get to where you want to go. There's no doubt about that. And every opportunity that comes to you after you have set your intention is an opportunity for you to lean into your intention, because now the world knows what your intentions are. And it's every opportunity to lean in. Understanding, seeing, recognizing what the world is offering, that's most of the work that happens during the course of the time that you work together at the Alien School. And you start to just feel this reconnection with your sense of self, your sense of place, your sense of opportunity, your sense of optimism and enthusiasm. But it's really the birth of creative awareness, the birth of the fact that everything around you has been created for you, and that does not stop in the moment, that every breath, every step you take is another creative opportunity when done with intention. and taking advantage of the magic that intention provides. The second definition, if you were to just look up the word intention, just Google it. The second definition is a medical definition, and it is the healing process of a wound. And that definition doesn't specify the kind of wound. It's important to know that about intention, is that, you know, whether it's an emotional wound, whether it is a physical wound, whether it is a mental wound, that our intention to understand and address those wounds is the beginning of a healing process, a definitive healing process. And taking that on is a huge responsibility, but a beautiful one as well.
Man, it sounds like a great place for not only discovering, maybe building relationships. I could imagine the people that are attending, or some of the students and scholars that you have there. You know, I think iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? So I could see that it could be some really great group work happening there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm loving it. I'm loving observing it. Because again, this came from a theory of experience, but turned into something that is really practical for individuals, for groups, for collectives to apply. And the more tools that we continue to create through the work that we're doing, and the student body has been amazing in collaborating and helping to even elevate what the school is and taking it beyond my own imagination, that I can see the magic of intention and what it does in bringing people together in order to co-create opportunities for each other. It just is the flow without needing to be a company. And that's one of the things that I've been really dedicated to, you know, around this institution, around the Alien School, is to not define it as any particular thing other than a learning environment, mm-hmm. and allow for the ecosystem to build around that, and allow for the student body to interconnect in a way that that would happen on any campus.
Yeah. Yeah, our friend, shout out to Thomas Hutchison over here, who says, every act originated in the mind first, every story a dream, and every invention an idea before it came into existence in this physical realm. Nice. Well said, Thomas.
Well said. Facts.
Yeah.
Facts on facts on facts. And that's the thing. It's like, it's all fact. It doesn't need to be spiritual to be fact. It's just fact.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. Thomas Hutchison is an awesome guy. He's always commenting and part of the Octopus movement. And he is one of us for sure. Just a sharp mind and a cool person. I'm reminded, though, especially in this conversation, whenever I hear Thomas, I always think of the Gospel of Thomas. And he talks about, my father's kingdom is here around us, but no one sees it, man. Like, and it just kind of echoes back to this idea of intention, like what you were talking about earlier. I don't know. It's fascinating to me. So
we are sitting in the kingdom.
Yeah, you know,
we are sitting in the kingdom.
Right.
It's just a frame shift to understand it. It doesn't need to exist anywhere else.
Right.
The earth is. How dope is Earth? How dope is Earth? Look, man. I spent a career in experience design. Mm-hmm. Okay. I spent a career in experience design. I loved making experiences. I loved designing worlds for the communication of an ideal, of like, a brand ideal. I love curating exhibits. I love the opportunity to, have an artistic thought and bring people together in an environment. Earth as a creation is so dope. And if we can't connect with how dope Earth is, just look around you, like the stereo system, Earth, the plant, Earth, the table, Earth, the shirt, Earth, the belt, Earth, the bath, Earth. Like, it's, we're in the dopest kingdom of creation available to humanity. And when we start to connect with that, we're going to start having a great time if you're not already.
Yeah, that's so well said. Like, how can you look around and not realize that you're part of this miracle? This miracle runs through you. You have the power to create the same way this earth created. Like, you don't, maybe you don't come into this world, you come out of it. You're part of it. Start acting like it. You know what I mean? Like, just be boundless the same way the earth is.
Connect with it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Beautiful.
It's amazing. This is an amazing conversation, and I'm truly thankful for your time. And I really hope people go down to the show notes. I hope that there is a new wave of people that find themselves knocking on the door of the alien school, man. Like, I love what you're putting out there, and I hope you'll come back and we can have more conversation. Maybe we could bring the student body on, and we could have some sort of people coming on, and just more people into the tent, and more ideas being talked about, and more people creating more beautiful things. And before I let you go, man, where can people find you? What do you got coming up, and what are you excited about?
Yeah, so people can find me at thealienschool.com, spelled as you know all those words, The Alien School. It is an environment of just my thought, as well as an understanding of how to connect with the values of the school, to understand why I created the school in the first place, and to take a tour of your creative self. That's free. You get to take a tour of your creative self for free. You should probably just do that. Just click on that. And just,
why wouldn't you, right?
Why wouldn't you do that? So that's first. And I'm willing to do as many tours as possible because I love creative beings. I'm down for it. I want to hear about all the genius on this planet, right? I want to hear about all of it. So thealienschool.com, best place to find me, because that's all of who I am put into a website. It's every fiber of who I am put into a website. If you wanted to find me on LinkedIn, you also could. My name is a pretty easy name to find there. You won't find me much on social media, but you can also find me on the True Life Podcast. So those are places where you can find me. What's coming up? More student enrollment, more work to create some educational tools through the voice of the Alien School that is going to help people to connect outside of that, taking the tour of your creative self, some tools to help with some grounding and some connectivity to our creative beings. I've written a couple guidebooks that are going to be coming out this year that I think will be really, really valuable and a lot of fun. George, I'll send you a preview of one that I've been working on,
man,
that you might dig into. And I'm excited. I'm excited about, I guess, what I call the fatherly instinct. In that, and something that's not talked about often, there's like the motherly instinct is there. We know that. We talk about that all the time. I'm excited about the appreciation that I'm gaining for the role that I get to play as a co-creator of life. I think I'll say it that simply, because I don't want to like confuse it with childhood or creating children, but just like being a co-creative partner in the relationship that creates something better. Like, I'm just excited about being the human that I am and the opportunity that I have to be in a co-creative role with anybody who wants to connect with their creative being, their creative self in new ways. And I'm also very excited about sharing this episode, because we've covered some really dope territory, man, and this has been fantastic. I really appreciate the forum that you create for the expansion of mindsets.
Man, thank you. To get to see education changing in real time is mind-blowing to me. Like, I love it. I love it. Like, the idea of credentialing and the idea of discovery, and it's changing right now, right here in conversations. And higher education, the definition of it is changing, and it's available to everyone right now. There's never been a better time to create. There's really incredible people out there that are changing the game and making the world accessible to dreamers, man. And you are one of them. Alien School is one of them. And I'm super thankful for that. And hang on briefly afterwards. I still want to talk to you just briefly afterwards. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you to everyone who hung out today, everybody in the comments, everybody who's going to be listening to this in the future. Thank you. I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful weekend. And I have a dream. You have a dream. Dr. King had a dream. And it's timeless. The dream is now. Let's start living it. That's all we got for today. Aloha. Aloha, everyone. Thanks for taking a moment to hang out with me in the True Life Podcast. I truly appreciate it. If you're taking some time to listen to this, whether it's your first podcast with me or you've been with me the whole way, I truly want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Additionally, I would like to try to inspire everyone. The world is a crazy place. And if you listen to your heart and you take some chances, I really think the world will unfold in front of you in ways you can't imagine. I've been doing the podcast for about 5 years. Last year, I decided to take the plunge. Well, circumstances dictated that I took the plunge, and I did. I've begun working on the podcast full time for almost a year now, and it's been so rewarding to me that I just want to try and inspire other people. If you have a dream, if you have a vision, follow the voice in your heart, listen to the song on the wind, and embrace the challenge. I think you're strong enough, you're smart enough, and you're good enough to make your dreams come true, but you have to believe in them. And I truly believe wholeheartedly that if you take a chance, a real chance on what is possible, then your dreams will unfold in front of you. Uncertainty can be a monster. It can be something that we run away from. But much like fear, if you stand in front of it, it's not that big of a problem. I know everyone listening to this has a dream and a vision, and I hope you all conquer it. And I want you to know it's possible. Take baby steps and move towards it, and you will get closer to it. Your relationships will be better. Your life will be better. And you know what? You deserve it. You're an amazing person. If you get a moment, go down to the show notes. If you can, support the show. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's get to it.